Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Abe Hamilton joins us on Wednesdays, Abraham Hamilton III, but that's a mouthful to call him the whole show, so we just go with Abe. How you doing, Abe?
I'm doing well. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning, and man, we almost need a halftime introducing a co-host of this program here. On Wednesdays, we have five of us here in studio, including our producer, Brent Creeley.
Like they do on football games, of the day, you know, as the game is unfolding, they say the starting offense for Clemson will be, you know.
Right. And they five
Fred Jackson, native of Canada.
Yeah. Fred is with us. Fred Jackson, the news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com.
Morning,
good morning,
everyone.
Fred. And Walker Wildman is our social media guru.
Yeah, we're like the CNN panelist. I was watching the President Obama's...
I beg your pardon.
...exiting speech last night. And
how did you do that to yourself?
His farewell address right before it, CNN had about eight panelists on.
I know.
Everybody gets 15 seconds
to get
their input.
Used to be Larry King, you know, back in the day. He would see how many faces he could squeeze into the picture, you know, and remember that on his, he would like a, it was like Hollywood Squares on his show.
No kidding.
Whose show was that?
Larry King.
Oh.
No kidding. Last night, CNN, I was checking out the titles of each individual who spoke, and they were all former Clinton campaign manager, former Clinton spokesperson, former Clinton.
Maybe there's a reason they're called the Clinton News Network, huh? Maybe that's legit. Hey, a lot to talk about today. Donald Trump's pretty ticked off right now, isn't he, Fred?
Just a little bit.
What's he mad about, Fred?
What he's mad about is a little background. Apparently, according to reports, over the last several months, there's been stories circulating that the Russians have nasty stories to tell about Donald Trump, about things he allegedly did in Moscow and all of that kind of stuff. Anyway, reporters, because they could not substantiate it to their credit, have not published it up to now. But according to the stories this morning, an unnamed intelligence official released the fact, no, not the fact, a story that the Russians have bad things hidden away that they're going to reveal about Donald Trump.
Now, we're talking about Donald Trump now. They better be really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Involving things.
I mean, the guy.
Among
the guy,
other things.
The guy's skeletons haven't been in his closet, really.
Yeah.
They've been out in the dining room for everybody to see. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, Donald Trump very quickly denying all of this garbage, saying, and at one point.
That was
point,
his word, garbage? Or
garbage.
That's your word.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Saying, are we living in Nazi Germany? What we see developing here, there's a lot of tension right now between the intelligence agencies of the United States and Donald Trump. There have been reports out there. People think that the intelligence agencies, whether it's FBI or whatever, have been very politicized under Barack Obama. In other words, he has sympathizers. You know, when the James Comey decision was made not to prosecute, not to go after Hillary Clinton, it opened up a whole new window. What's going on here with all of this evidence? Why was she not prosecuted? Suspicions were raised. So now there's reports, too, that this piece of information about the Russians, we were just talking about this, one of the sources may have been John McCain, Senator John McCain. And, of course, we know there's been no love lost between Senator John McCain and Donald Trump. Anyway, Donald Trump is about to have a news conference. We're watching here. This news conference was originally scheduled. He wanted to talk to reporters because reporters wanted to know how he's going to separate himself from his business empire. But now this issue is expected to dominate that news conference, and we'll be monitoring that over the next hour or so to see what happens.
And if I could interject one of the stories, you know, this is a 35-page dossier that apparently the CIA has gathered information about President-elect Trump. This is now from 4chan. This is a British outlet, and they are saying that one of the more disgusting stories that's in this dossier was compiled by a British. I'm reading now from a release from 4chan. Compiled by a British intelligence officer, it was a hoax and fabricated by a member of a chat board as fan fiction. So, in other words, you get, you know, people on chat in chat rooms, and they, you know, write stories. You know, if you're a Star Trek fan, hey, here I'm writing a story about what might happen to Spock or something. It was written as fan fiction, but it was written as something true, as if it were true. It was sent to Rick Wilson. I'm not sure who he is, but he proceeded to send it to the CIA. And the CIA put this in the 35-page dossier. Mm. And now these kinds of things have happened before, where somebody writes a story and they it sounds accurate. They send it to a local newspaper who publishes it. It's picked up by major news wires. Before you know it, it's treated as a real story until the truth is sprung and the hoaxer gets to gloat over having fooled the news agencies. So I'm not saying I know everything that's in it, but this is one story now that is being claimed to have been a hoax.
Now, I didn't even know about this till this morning. I came into work, and Walker said, "Hey, did you hear the news? Trump's having a press conference, and this is what's going on, Abe." And but what I just heard you say, Ed, I thought I heard you say, is that the CIA, correct me if I'm wrong, has created a what did you call it?
Well, dossier.
Okay, which is like a brief, a briefing, or a
it's like a file. It's
a file, right? A file on President-elect Donald Trump. True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The CIA.
Yeah.
And Abe, they have included in that this bogus story, or this unsubstantiated, undocumented National Enquirer type story. Am I right? Am I tracking here?
So much so the New York Times wouldn't even publish it.
Yeah. This is amazing.
Okay, right. Now that, and so what is this supposed to be released to the public today? And John McCain supposedly involved in this?
Yeah, it has been. BuzzFeed got a hold of it.
BuzzFeed being what? A news?
I wouldn't,
TMZ type
I wouldn't
news.
Insult news people by saying BuzzFeed is news.
Okay, but
Internet at National Enquirer.
Yes,
Internet National Enquirer.
They deal with salacious material, sensationalized material.
And I would say that 4chan in Britain is probably not quite as bad as BuzzFeed, but they do go for provocative stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is now the story that is swirling about.
Okay.
This one story included in the dossier, and this says that Rick Wilson is an anti-Trump Republican strategist, which I'm just learning now on Town Hall. This is exploding now.
Who did the CIA give this to? This briefing.
Well, I think BuzzFeed is the one who. I'm not sure how they supposedly got a hold of it. Right?
No, I'm not certain how BuzzFeed got a hold of it.
So the question is, did someone in the CIA
leak it?
Leak it to BuzzFeed.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, the Democrats and most of the Republicans jumped all over Donald Trump about questioning the integrity of the intelligence agencies. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if he questioned the integrity of, but I mean, he didn't. What did Donald Trump? He got into it last week with a tweet or two about the, you know, and then he came back and said, "No, I didn't mean to impugn, you know, all the people who work for the CIA, FBI, NSA, whatever." But to your point, Fred, if what y'all are describing it really happened, then somebody at the CIA, seems to me, should be held responsible for being a part of this or including this.
If this is a real CIA dossier, I mean, this is part of the questioning that is going on.
Okay, we don't know that for
sure. Is this a real CIA dossier that was leaked, or is this whole thing fake news?
Yeah, and this is what Trump said. He suggests that he's being persecuted for defeating other GOP presidential hopefuls and Democrat Hillary Clinton in the election. So he says there are Republicans with dirt underneath their fingernails.
Plus, sorry, I had a little
tickle in the throat.
Plus the mainstream media. I mean, this is an example, I think, of what you're going to see. We had a story on American Family News this morning quoting Bob Knight, conservative based in Washington. And he says there's a war room. The Democrats have created a war room, and it is the job of this war room to discount and discredit basically everything Donald Trump does. This is nasty.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, waiting a press conference from President-elect Donald Trump about all this. And I'm sure he'll probably be frank and open and honest and share his feelings about this whole thing. I would expect
Donald Trump be open and honest.
I think he would just share how he thinks and, you know, share his heart. I think he's going to share his heart.
I think he kind of holds back. He keeps a lot of things in.
By the way, we're Facebook Live, this show, right, Walker? People want to watch our show on Facebook, they can go to there. Is that correct?
He's listening
yes.
to the Trump.
Yeah. I'm amazed. I'm watching Sean Spicer, which is Trump's press secretary. He's just, on behalf of Trump, he's just ripping CNN, BuzzFeed.
Wow.
He's talking, this is lawsuit material.
Wow.
And so I was listening on that. I apologize.
Okay. No, that's okay. But we're live streaming on
Facebook. Yeah, we're live streaming on Facebook, and all the news stories that we're talking about, you can see on Facebook.
Okay. Let me, by the way, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm gonna introduce a thought out there that's going to sound conspiratorial. And, you know, in today's world, the crossover between fact and conspiracy, who knows where the lines are anymore, right? It's kind of crazy out there. But I have mentioned this prior to the election, and I don't want to over-dramatize either. But let me just say that probably unlike any other president that I can remember, Donald Trump has a lot of people who hate him who have a lot of money at stake in world events that he stands opposed to. The globalist, I'm talking about. Now, Donald Trump is not a paragon of virtue.
Right.
We've said this all along. Everybody knows that. I don't even know where he is exactly ideologically. I don't know if he may be, you know, this and that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, he has appointed a lot of solid conservatives to his cabinet, to which we commend him. But now you start talking about trade with China being interrupted. You start talking about drilling for your own oil. You start and being energy independent. You start talking about cracking down on the Mexican drug cartels. You start talking about. I'm just saying. Y'all see where I'm going with this?
Sure.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in the world who would like to see Donald Trump's administration end before it ever starts.
End abruptly.
Yeah. Yeah. But for, in other words, hey, let me just say this too. There's nobody in the Republican establishment that cares that, you know, that he upset their apple cart.
Yeah.
So I'm just the liberal media. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. So, I mean, he doesn't have very many friends, okay, who want him to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood.
Right. You're talking about
I'm talking about Trump.
Elites.
Well, the elites and the globalists. So, I mean, all that, I know that's amalgamation there of a bunch of stuff in that soup I just, made.
Put on the stove.
So there are global interests that against Donald Trump, but also domestic. Let's understand that the folks who elected Barack Obama president twice, believed they really were his promise, changing the country, changing the world. And then along comes Donald Trump, And they thought they would win the next election because, you know, Obama's still very popular in the polls and what he's doing.
I don't know about very, but he's pop. He's still
over
50%. Yeah.
Still over 50%. So a lot, and then Hillary Clinton blows it for the Democrats. And now Donald Trump comes in, and he is upsetting their plans for this country and the world. You've got Hollywood, you've got the mainstream media, far left, and now you've got somebody coming in who says, I want to make America great again. In other words, take it back to the days of Ronald Reagan or whatever the case may be. And these people are vicious. I was just listening to the Rex Tillerson confirmation hearing. He is Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of State. There have already been interrupted just in the first 20 minutes by protesters in the room.
Who's letting these people in? You know, I know I've been to these rooms.
Well, that's typical, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a gallery. Yeah, but not from the conservative side.
No, that's no. True.
Yeah. You know, the liberals are anarchist. Conservatives are law and order.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see, during Obama's hearings for his cabinet appointments, you didn't have conservatives, as bad as we dislike the appointments, probably. You didn't see them disrupting the three and four times like they did with Jeff Sessions yesterday.
No, mm-hmm. You didn't see that.
Why is that, Abe?
No.
why does it only go one way on this?
I think you hit the nail on the head. You have people who, not everyone, but often subscribe to, you know, Marxist ideology that the means are justified by the ends. So whatever it takes to get their agenda accomplished, they don't care to oppose it. You know, I think it's amazing that as you pointed out, Tim, as much as many conservatives were disappointed with President Obama's election and reelection, on his inauguration day, he was able to get seven of his nominees confirmed just via a voice vote. And then the next week, five confirmed with very little Republican opposition because they knew, one, they didn't have the numbers to stop it, and two, as McCain said, he was a president.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Abe Hamilton, and Fred Jackson, and Walker Wildman. There will be a test at the end of the show on how many people are co-hosting. What do you think about what I was talking about? You think that's...
No, I think there are clearly people who have said in tweets and stuff like that, they think Trump should be killed. I'm not sure that that's something because of the way our system works. I mean, do you kill Trump and then wind up with Mike Pence? You see what I'm saying? So,
well, I don't know. I do think every president is a target of. It would be a target for assassination for all kind of different reasons.
Right.
So maybe Donald Trump. I don't know about physically killing the man, although I think there would be a lot of people who would like to see that happen in the world. Bad players.
No, I think you're exactly right. If you're saying there are people who want to destroy him, Yeah,
destroy him, and end his presidency, the effectiveness thereof before it ever starts.
Well, and let me tie this to the disintegration of journalism in America. Now, this town hall story I was referencing earlier, it ends this way. Now, again, I'm referring back to the 4chan, which I think is short for Channel 4 in the UK. This is the way this story ends. It says, guess we'll have to wait and see if 4chan pulled off what is probably the greatest troll game in internet history, talking about a false story planted so that the news media picks it up. The only way this kind of thing happens is when people who are supposed to be journalists choose sides, and they become players in the political game rather than outsiders who are monitoring the game and who are reporting on what's happening. When you take sides, you all too willingly believe the worst of the person you want out, and you believe the best of the person you want in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the deeper story here is, that we are approaching a time when there is no true journalism going on.
That's right.
There are only players from each side who are in the game, and they can't be trusted. If we had real journalists, they would have no reason to want to believe, if this all turns out to be a lie and a hoax, they would have no reason to want to believe it and thus short-circuit the very sometimes tedious process of checking sources and making sure this is a legitimate story before you release it. Now, I understand there's pressure to be the first one to release a big story, but if you are worried about your journalistic integrity, you must wait until you can confirm it before you release it. That's the way, Fred, you come from old school journalism in Canada. That's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, in my training with BBC people back 40 years ago, the test was, I don't want to see your opinion, Fred, in this story. If it is, it doesn't go on the air. That was the standard from these people. Today, they wear their bias with a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. We saw this during the election campaign. I mean, the New York Times coming out and saying, it's going to be our job to defeat Donald Trump. That's what they said. And without saying it, we saw that at CNN and NBC and CBS and these other news outlets. The Associated Press, it doesn't matter. The way they framed the stories, Hillary Clinton could do no wrong, Donald Trump could do no right. That's the way the stories were written, and it's only taken off since Donald Trump has won the election. It is 10 times as worse. I was telling somebody this morning, when we have to edit stories to put on One News Now, it takes me twice as long to go through and try to remove some of the bias that's out of there. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, almost lost in the news today is President Barack Obama's final speech last night in Chicago. The writing on that was, you know, here's our hero. He's riding off into the sunset. What's going to happen to the country? That was the attitude of the story.
And it's supposed to be a journalistic story. It's just a reporter.
Well, but nothing in the story is about where is the country really today? Race relations at the worst point they've been in years in this country. But the story doesn't contain that. Nor does it lay any responsibility on Barack Obama and the Justice Department for the problems that we have in the police departments today. A Pew Research story, this is on One News Now, a Pew Research comes out, they've interviewed 8,000 cops over the last few months. They're scared to do their job because they're going to be blamed for doing something wrong.
Wait a minute, 8,000?
They interviewed 8,000
cops. Research.
Pew Research did. And they're admitting, we're afraid to go in, I'm not using as an example here, we're afraid to go into South Chicago to answer a call from somebody who says they're in trouble, because if we do anything, if we catch a perpetrator, we're going to be hauled up by the Obama Justice Department for doing something wrong. So they're backing away from this stuff. Innocent people are being hurt in America because of the Obama Justice Department's attitude towards police.
So what you're saying is that the crime in these big cities is going up and going to go up because the police are not doing what they would otherwise be doing had they not been under this intense scrutiny.
Yes.
And they feel like they can't, they could make one wrong step, Abe.
Yeah.
Or a perceived wrong step.
A perceived wrong step. And I want to be clear, it's not because of the increased scrutiny.
Okay.
Police are always under scrutiny.
Okay.
What they are concerned about is the same thing that Donald Trump is dealing with, the spin that will be put on things, like you later said, the perceived wrongness of their activity, which is really based on their ideological worldview, their ideological commitments, not based on the facts of the incident. You know,
so that's back to your original point for bringing this up, that is part of the legacy of the Obama administration, and which is reflecting poorly on our country, and nobody talks about that.
Mainstream
part.
Media? Right, no, we're not going to talk about that.
All right. Other than this, folks, the world's all good. A lot of great things going on, especially if you're a Clemson Tiger. The world's all good, right? We shall return momentarily with Todd Starnes from Fox News, talking about the people who disrupted the Jeff Sessions hearing yesterday, the senator from Alabama, as he was having his confirmation hearings. Why is it it's only the left-wing wackos that want to interrupt and disrupt? We'll talk about that when we get back with Todd Starnes.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with a spokesperson from our new ministry partner, Preborn.
Ultrasound truly is a game changer. When a mom comes into a pregnancy center under pressure to abort her child If she hears her baby's heartbeat and sees that baby on ultrasound, 80% of the time she'll choose life.
Learn more about this ministry, which has saved thousands of babies from abortion, on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. By now, you've heard about the scandalous and salacious accusations made against President-elect Donald Trump. They will not be repeated here in this commentary because the allegations are unverified and, quite frankly, dubious. But that did not stop CNN from reporting the story or BuzzFeed from publishing the entire 35-page dossier containing the charges. BuzzFeed's editor says there is serious reason to doubt the accusations, but they published them regardless. No doubt it is a sad day for American journalism. The president-elect is right to be upset, and so should you as a news consumer. You deserve verified facts, not rumor and innuendo. In publishing what amounts to be secondhand gossip, the mainstream media proved they're nothing more than propaganda machines for the left, and they'll do whatever it takes to destroy the president-elect. Fair and balanced, my friends, they are not. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what have you posted at our Facebook page already?
Well, we're doing Facebook Live, and I've also posted a story about this these false reports, the fake news that's out today that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Okay, so you've got that up there?
Yes, sir.
On our Facebook page. Todd Starnes joins us from New York City. Todd's with Fox News. He has a commentary also on American Family Radio and other fine radio stations across this country. You just heard it. Todd, good morning to you.
Tim, good morning. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great. Thank you for being on with us. You do those commentary. You write those. When do you write those? The first thing in the morning or when?
I do, yeah. I normally get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and pound out that one you just heard. And we try to keep them as fresh and as timely as possible. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I just wrote that one a little while ago on this dust-up with Trump and the Russians.
All right. What is it? If people want to read your stuff, where can they go?
Folks can get all of our columns and commentaries at toddstarnes.com. And we also have a special website that has just been set up for my new book, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. And folks can actually download a copy of the book at deplorablesbook.com, like the first couple of chapters.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Deplorablesbook.com.
The best thing that ever happened to Todd when Hillary Clinton called conservatives and Christians a basket of deplorables.
Todd said, that's a great title for a book.
It's a great title for a book.
Be a great
title. I felt like I had arrived.
Be a great title for a country song, too, really, if somebody would do it. Hey, I want to ask you, because I know I'm asking for half the listening audience who are too embarrassed to ask for themselves, and that is, how do you spell deplorable?
Deplorables. Book.com.
All right. Deplorables.com. Now, we had you on originally to talk about the hearings yesterday with Senator Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General nominee by President-elect Trump. the who was it that was shouting him down and trying to disrupt? No, trying to did disrupt his hearings.
Yeah, there were a bunch of advocate or activist groups that have sort of infested Washington D.C. And I suspect we'll see more of that leading up to the inauguration. These folks are various and sundry, activist groups. A couple of guys dressed up as Klan members.
How do you get that into a hearing room?
Exactly.
For those who don't know, and I've been to all these rooms, not all of them, but I've been to many of these rooms where they have hearings in Washington, D.C. And, of course, security's tight. And then you have a gallery, probably 50 people, maybe, in most of those rooms, maybe a max of 100, I would think, where you have a gallery. It's open to the public. Anybody can come in and listen to these hearings on any subject you want to. So these guys get in with, how do they get in with sheets and white hoods? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm really not quite sure, Tim. It seems to me if you've got a fellow walking into the Capitol building wearing bed sheets and other linen, that would be cause for some concern. But it sort of reminds me, their security there reminds me of that movie, the airplane parody movie,
right,
where they're letting all the armed terrorists get on the airplane, but they're strip searching Granny because she has knitting needles. So who knows?
Well, what do you think now? What about this latest story? This morning, Walker came in and told me at 8 o'clock when I came into work, hey, did you hear the news? And I had not heard the story that's blowing up now in the media. It's on the front page of Fox News about this fake story about Donald Trump that and BuzzFeed and the Russians and CNN and John McCain. I mean, this is getting juicy.
Well, it is. And, it's really scandalous. So certainly nothing that a good church-going Methodist would want to talk about on the air. But, here's the challenge here, Tim. The information that CNN went with and the information that BuzzFeed just wholesale released to the public is completely unverified and unsubstantiated. And this is some really scandalous and salacious information. We just don't know the story here. Donald Trump is at this very moment holding a press conference at Trump Tower, and he says it's fake news, there's nothing to this, whatever. My concern is not the information. My concern is the fact that you've had major news organizations releasing information that they don't know for a fact is true. And that in itself is fake news unless proved otherwise.
Well, and Todd, we talked about this in the last segment. Doesn't this go to the state of modern journalism in America that instead of being spectators of the game, I'm talking about the game of politics, and verifying facts and reporting on what's happening, it's far too common now that you have people, journalists, who are part of the game, who are part of the process of destroying political careers and tipping the scales, because that seems to me to be the only real motivation for jumping in and going with this story, like CNN apparently has done, when it has not been verified. I mean, old school journalists would have said, no, we are not going to go with this story until we can try to validate it. The only motivation for doing otherwise is the CNN is a political player and not a journalistic enterprise.
Well, and the greater offender here is BuzzFeed, who released the entire dossier, 30 some odd pages of this unsubstantiated information, and they even admitted. They said, this is probably not true. We have serious doubts about this, but you know what? We're going to throw it out there anyway. You can figure it out for yourself, America.
Mm.
That action tells me that BuzzFeed is not a fair and balanced arbiter of the news, right, that they are trying to destroy Donald Trump, and they are basically a propaganda wing of the left.
Yeah, it sounds like to me George Soros may be behind something like that. I'm going to throw that out there without any substantiation. If you want to go with the quote usual suspects here. Well, Todd, thanks so much for being on with us. So go ahead and give how folks can follow you there.
Sure. Folks can go to ToddStarnes.com and read all of our columns. They can also get information about our new book. And, Tim, I got to tell you something. It took a lot of deplorable people to write a book like this.
What's the name of the book again?
The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again.
Okay. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, son.
Todd Starnes joining us there from New York City.
New York City.
Good old country boy up in New York City.
New York City. I don't even know what was it. What
sauce? Pace picante sauce.
What was it?
Pace picante.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was a picante sauce. All right, salsa, some kind of salsa thing.
Hey, Walker,
pace yours money. Kidding.
Walker, you've been listening to President-elect Trump, haven't you?
Yes, I've been listening to his press conference.
What's he talking about?
Well, a lot of things, but first off, he started off talking about he really was just bragging on some of the deals he's already made with some of the companies like Ford and Chrysler, and then he said that there's going to be news in the coming weeks of other companies who are going to invest in American business rather than foreign countries. And then at the end he took questions from reporters, and every reporter wanted to talk about the fake news Russia story. And he essentially didn't answer. He didn't give in to any of their questions and bite on any of the false narratives. And now his attorney is discussing how he's going to separate himself from the Trump organization when he takes the White House.
Abe, how you do that? You're a lawyer.
Well, I don't know the
you're not
great
that kind of lawyer, right?
Well, no, I'm not that kind of lawyer, and right. I don't know the expanse of Trump's business empire, so I would need more details.
Well, his kids.
Yeah.
Isn't he going to turn it over to his kids?
That's what he said. You know, he said he's going to turn it over to his kids, and the questions that some people have had, well, how can you really be independent if your kids are running it? I'm like, I mean, come on. These are people that...
Well, there's no, Ed, I think you mentioned this before, oddly enough, there's no constitutional reason why he has to do this at all. Am I right? Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding. Now, again, I'm even less informed than Abe on this. But you know, my understanding is, if you have businesses, there's no legal compulsion to you kind of divest yourself of any kind of control over them, because a business is not like insider trading. If you're president. You know, the idea is that there's no way for a president really to benefit his company, you know, other than, you know, bribery and corruption, which would be illegal in any case. But I don't know if is that true.
Well, as I was listening to the press conference, Trump himself said, from a legal standpoint and from a constitutional standpoint, I can run the Trump organization and run the country. But he said, you know, when it comes to ethics and things like that, I don't view that as wise. And so he said, I do not want to do that personally. And so that thus he is turning his company over to his two sons.
Yeah, the world is too complex for a part-time president. And that's, I think, what most people expect. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to have a night job. You know, we expect you to be the president, you know, 24 hours a day, be available for that anyway.
And well, you so also don't want
part-time job is just not.
You don't want the potential conflict of interest where your business dealings collide with American
diplomacy,
right. And
kind of like the Clinton Foundation.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking about.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I came up with that all on my own.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that, man.
Yeah.
Hey, when that light bulb goes off.
One thing that Trump did say that he has not said yet, from my understanding, is that he said in this press conference that he does believe it was Russia who hacked the DNC and the Podesta emails. But I don't think that's not really breaking news.
What this whole thing with Russia hacking into the Democrats' emails is just... To me, it's just the blame is being put on the wrong people. If Russia did that, guess what? America right now is trying to hack Russia.
Yeah.
Okay? China's trying to hack Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Colombia's trying to hack Venezuela. I mean, this goes on every day, all day, all over the world. friendly countries. Israel tries to hack America. America tries to hack Israel. I'm just saying that kind of thing, spying on one another and all that kind of thing is going on.
Yeah, before there was hacking, there was spying.
Spying. But now, this is, to me, meant to deflect attention away from where the problem is. If I were the Democrats, I'd go, what security team allowed our system to be hacked? Right. That's number one. Why didn't the Republicans get hacked? Mm-hmm. Why didn't the Green Party get hacked? Why didn't, you know what I'm saying?
Why didn't the Green Party hack the Republican Party?
Right. Well, maybe it's because our leadership and our party are dumb and put things like password as their password.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that, I don't know, maybe that's the problem.
Well, and also it's a total deflection away from the content of the emails. They have yet to deny the content, the validity of the content of the emails, which in those emails is some very, very disturbing information coming from John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's top aide, and Hillary Clinton herself.
Right, and Donna Brazile and all those things, and that's the reason it was proven that, you know, they were trying to sabotage Bernie Sanders. And I mean, the whole
And I'm not, I'm not happy. If it turns out that the Russians did that, I'm not happy with that.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I don't want other countries doing that. You know, we should, like you said, Tim, we should make sure we have defensive measures up so that that doesn't happen. So I think you can say both things at the same time. I think you can say, I know I'm not happy with the Russians. If they were trying to influence our election, we need to protect better against that. But at the same time, let's talk about the content of the emails that have been released. I have no problem with saying both of those things at the same
time. And once again, that brings up the point that you were making, the difference between advocacy and journalism. Because the facts are, as you laid out, Tim, that nations, especially nations where you don't have the most warm reception, they try to infiltrate and influence at all types of different areas through espionage and other sources. And it's nobody is saying, okay, fantastic. Russia tried to do whatever they tried to do if they tried to do it. But we have to be able to separate attempts of a foreign entity to gain access to digital information in our country from the results of the information being revealed to the American public. And what's happening is that the media is building its tent around this foreign intervention to try to provide an excuse for why Hillary Clinton
especially lost. Because the news media should have had access to those emails in the first place. They've been doing their due diligence. They would try to find out about stuff that about the Republicans and the Democrats in the public interest. That's what the journalists should have been doing. They should have been trying to access and, you know, doing FOIA requests and saying, we want to see, you know, your emails, but they weren't interested in doing that to the Clinton campaign.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're live streaming on Facebook. You can go there and access stories that we're talking about here on the program today. By the way, FBI Director James Comey said that Russia also tried to hack the Republican National Committee. So evidently they had better security than the Democrats. So who's the fault there?
Well, I'm guessing they probably started by not having a server in the bathroom,
right?
Of an
that would be security lesson 101.
Yeah, this is just
it's all trying to take away from Trump's legitimacy.
This is all a comedy skit because if you remember, I was watching this morning. Obama told Putin that wait till after the election. Years ago, he said, wait till after the election, I'll have more flexibility.
Right.
To Putin.
Right.
Then he mocked Romney in 12 for calling Russia a threat. Obama mocked Romney for calling Russia a threat and said, oh, they're not a threat, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden,
he kicks out all the.
Also in Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, in his reelection bid a couple years ago, Obama's administration, the State Department, sent funds, hundreds of thousands of dollars, that were used to beat Netanyahu. Talking about interfering in an election directly.
Right. You know. You're listening to Today's Issues. Anyway, this whole thing is just, as Ed talked about earlier, the fake news as opposed to real news, that's a big issue today and going forward. it will be. And evidently, a fake news story was picked up by BuzzFeed, or created by BuzzFeed, which is a quasi, it's a hybrid, isn't it, between a real news agency.
Well, I think it's very similar to when people go through the
National
checkout.
Inquirer.
Yes, they go through the checkout counter.
BuzzFeed is like going through the
salacious
seeing the National Inquirer type
right.
stuff. Okay, but CNN picked up this as a legit news story. Right, Walker? Isn't that what you said?
Yes, BuzzFeed promoted it as a legit news story.
That Russia had stuff on Donald Trump that would be damaging to him, and they were going to release it. Now, Russia's, through Vladimir Putin, I guess, has said they don't have anything on Donald Trump.
Yeah, and last night the BuzzFeed editor sent an email to all of his employees saying essentially, you know, I don't really know if this is a true story either, but we just felt obligated to release
it. Throw it out there.
Yeah.
And it's allegedly a 35-page dossier in the CIA's possession of sexual escapades of President-elect Donald Trump that would be hugely embarrassing. And I know at least one or two of the stories, and they are disgusting. Mm-hmm. And they would be hugely embarrassing. Even as much as we know about Donald Trump, this would be beyond the pale kind of stuff. And yet we have BuzzFeed releasing it and CNN covering it. Nobody knows. And then we have the story from Channel 4.
It's just made up. I mean, it could have been just made up.
One of the stories is being alleged now, reporting from Channel 4, 4chan in the UK. They said, no, this was made up. It was a hoax. We created it. We got it into the hands of the right person that we thought might run with it.
Yeah.
And it was actually included by the CIA in this dossier. And now they're coming out and saying, no, we made it up. It was fan fiction. It was created.
I don't know the logistics to this. And I'm sure, you know, you have to take national security in mind. But if I were Trump, I would just clean out the entire intelligence leadership. Just day one, everybody gone. Now, I don't know how that works because you have national security and military is a whole lot different than like the IRS or someone like that. It's not as urgent. But these guys, they're going to be gone because they've worked. Their sole job the past year has been to discredit Trump.
You're listening to today's issue. I think he is going to do as much cleaning house as you can. I think Trump, and he may not say this out in the open, although he's not hesitant to hold back on much. He feels like the 8 years of the Obama administration, that a lot of political appointees have been put into these intelligence agencies, and they are against him and against his. I don't know. I'm thinking that's what he thinks, and he's going to try to replace as many of them as he can. These kinds of people are career people, though, mostly, and they're not really haven't in the past been subject to accusations of being politically motivated. But Donald Trump, you know, he's Donald Trump can find a devil under the rock if he needs to. You know what I'm saying? I'm not faulting him completely. I'm just saying the man does believe in people are out to get him, and he's right most of the time. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think this is another part. Once, you know, it's affirmatively concluded, as, you know, the Russians have said, Trump has said, a lot of other media outlets have said this stuff is fake. You're going to see these consistent attempts to delegitimize Donald Trump as president. I mean, that's what, when we were here, and I hate to rewind all the way back, but when we were here talking about, you know, the Electoral College vote, and I said on this show that all of this is much ado about nothing, because there is nothing that will be done, and nor can be done at this point, to make anybody other than Donald Trump president. All of this was a calculated effort to delegitimize him, as well as the recount efforts. All of these other things were attempts employed to keep the national fervor up amongst those who vehemently despise Donald Trump, to feel as if they have a legitimate cause. And so I think you can expect to see this going forward, because people want to try to pull the momentum from underneath the Trump presidency.
Well, Jeff Sessions yesterday, changing subjects slightly here, Jeff Sessions had his hearing. Is it over? Is he going to testify anymore?
I know he's up today.
Yeah.
He's up today again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but he's going to survive, and he's going to be voted on, confirmed as the next Attorney General of the United States. And let me just say, folks, this is great news for the conservatives and for constitutional-loving people and for law and order people and for the law enforcement across this country. Jeff Sessions is a good man. He believes in the Constitution. He will make a very honorable attorney general. So that's great. He hadn't been voted on yet, but I think the consensus is that he'll be confirmed. Now, the gentleman up today is the Secretary of State appointee, Rex
Tillerson.
Tillerson, who's the CEO of
ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil, and he's being grilled, I guess.
Yeah, and he actually admitted, he said in the briefing, or not the briefing, in the testimony this morning, that, yeah, Russia does pose the danger.
And who, Tillerson did?
Yeah, Tillerson did. Okay. So he's not a Russian sympathizer or defender, at least not in these testimonies.
Okay. But he'll be grilled today, have to Q&A today. Yep. You know, what Trump is counting on from him, I guess, is all his contacts, Ed, around the world, in his role as Secretary of State. I guess nobody more than the chairman of ExxonMobil, I think the largest corporation in the world, maybe Walmart, but maybe larger, but in terms of number of employees and money earned, Apple somewhere. But I mean, they're ExxonMobil is right there at the top. And this guy's been, I guess, dealing with foreign heads of state and governments.
And that's why he was picked. That's why Trump picked him. He didn't have foreign policy experience that you might normally look for in a Secretary of State. But Trump picked him, being himself a businessman, because I'm not trying to read his mind, but just from what I've read, he understands the importance of getting to know people and leaders by doing business with them. And that's how Trump has made many of his, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And so he looked at someone like Tillerson as someone who would be intimately acquainted with the many, many nations that he has worked with and done deals with and met world leaders. And everybody who would go into the Secretary of State, even if you were a U.S. Senator like John Kerry, you undergo a certain training period where things that you might not normally have learned about customs, for example, and what you do and don't do at a state dinner. Everybody will go through those kind of trainings. And Tillerson, if he is voted on and approved by the Senate, will go through those as well. But I think that's why Trump picked Tillerson. Right. Is because Trump's own experience in understanding the world is something he was looking for with Tillerson.
All right. And finally, you know that tree that you can drive through in California in the Redwood Forest? Remember that? Seeing that in the World Book? And then
my dad went through there.
Did he really? It's
a couple years ago.
Well, that storm that went through Northern California knocked that tree down. I'm serious.
Yeah, a redwood.
Sad. The sad thing. But I remember a few things from my childhood, and that's reading the World Book and seeing that redwood tree and saying to myself, one day, Tim, you're going to go to California and drive through that tree. And now that opportunity has been taken from me by the Russians. I hold the Russians.
Russians sent a strong wind.
They sent a strong wind into Northern California.
They should not bother with us and the Russians.
The Russians.
And now they drink
our vodka and make Americans miserable.
Say goodbye to your little tree.
Sasha, where are my slippers?
My heart's broken. These guys are mockers. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.